Thank you, choir. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 23. And while you're finding your place there, we're going to dismiss our children, preschool through third grade, and their workers to Children's Church and our choir to sit with their family. The Gospel of Luke chapter 23. If you're a guest with us today, several weeks ago we started a new series leading up to Easter focused on the seven sayings of Christ from the cross. And this morning we're finishing that up by looking at the seventh and final statement that Jesus made while he was on the cross. So we're going to look at one verse of Scripture this morning in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. And we're going to read verse 46. And this is what the Word of God says. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. In this verse, we come to the seventh and final statement of Jesus from the cross. A.W. Pink said, seven is the number of completeness or perfection. At Calvary, then as everywhere, the perfections of the Blessed One were displayed. Seven is also the number of rest in a finished work. In 6 days, God made heaven and earth, and in the seventh, he rested, contemplating with satisfaction that which he had pronounced very good. So here with Christ, a work had been given him to do, and that work was now done. And just as the sixth day brought the work of creation and reconstruction to a completion, so the sixth utterance of the Savior was, it is finished. And just as the seventh day was the day of rest and satisfaction, so the seventh utterance of the Savior brings him to the place of rest, his Father's hands. The darkness of the cross was over. His suffering was finished. And now he was finally able to commit his spirit into the hands of his Father, whose presence had returned. The spirit is the highest part of us. It is that which distinguishes us from animals and that which links us to God. The spirit is that which God forms in us. And at death, our spirit will either depart to eternal fellowship with God in a literal place called heaven, or it will depart to eternal separation from God in a literal place called hell. As we come to this seventh and final statement of Jesus from the cross, we see a picture of Jesus dying. And when we learn how Jesus died, we'll never think of death the same way again. Jesus has gone before us as the forerunner, showing us how to handle death. In ancient times, we're told that a forerunner would help a vessel enter the harbor safely, that the forerunner would jump off into the water and wade toward the shore and tie a rope around a rock along the shoreline, then a winch would be used to pull the ship on into the harbor safely and securely. And this image of a forerunner is the same imagery that the writer of Hebrews uses in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 6, describing Jesus Christ preparing the way for us through his death. And this is what the writer of Hebrews says. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. That's why Erwin Lutzer said, let storms tear our sails to shreds. Let the floors creak. Let the gusts of wind attempt to blow us off course. The redeemed shall arrive safely at port. Each day we are pulled a notch closer to the harbor by the one who has proved that he is stronger than death. Someone once said that we are not really prepared to live until we're prepared to die. For death is an appointment. Death is not an accident. And the Bible teaches us that only God knows the day and the hour when your life and my life will come to an end. In this seventh and final statement from the cross, Jesus shows us how to die well. The act by which the Savior placed His Spirit into the hands of the Father was an act of faith. It was an act designed to provide an example for us. Jesus teaches us about death through His death. And there are six characteristics about His death this morning that encourage us and help remove fear from us so that we too may die well. So with all that in mind, let me show you these six characteristics this morning. The first thing I want you to see is that Jesus died faithfully in His flesh. Luke says in Luke 23:46, "And having said this, He breathed His last." Jesus actually died. He had a real human body, and He experienced the struggles of humanity. Jesus knew what it was to grow up. He knew what it was to eat. He knew what it was to drink. He knew what it was to sleep. Jesus knew what it was to get tired. He also knew what it was to experience real suffering and to experience a real death. The Bible tells us that the Roman soldiers approached the three crosses where Jesus and the two thieves were hanging because it was their custom to break the legs of those who were being crucified to hasten their death. But the Apostle John recorded in John 19:33 that when the soldiers came to Jesus and His cross to break His legs, they found that Jesus was already dead. And the Bible says when Joseph and Nicodemus asked Pilate for custody of Jesus' body so they could bury Him, the Bible says that Pilate marveled that Jesus had already died. Jesus didn't pretend to die so that He could fake a resurrection 3 days later. Jesus Christ died a real death on a real Roman cross, and He did it for you and for me. He didn't swoon on the cross, as many believe, and then He just fell asleep and was put in the cold tomb and He revived Himself and He came awake again. No, the Bible teaches clearly that Jesus literally, physically, bodily died on that cross. And because He died on that cross, Jesus Christ confronted the last enemy, which is death. And He confronted death with its sorrow and with its pain and with its finality. And listen, friends, Jesus defeated death. And because He died for us, the Apostle Paul declared that we no longer have to fear death. That's why he wrote to the Corinthian believers in 1 Corinthians 15 these words, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Jesus Christ died in the flesh. And listen, friends, He died faithfully in the flesh. Warren Wiersbe said, "Before Jesus Christ laid down His life, He forgave His enemies. Before He laid down His life, He gave salvation to a repentant thief. Before He laid down His life, He cared for His mother. Before He laid down His life, He finished the work God gave Him to do." Now listen carefully to what he writes. "You and I don't know how long God will permit us to live. Every day we have, every minute we have, is a gift of grace. But today we ought to follow Christ's example, and we ought to forgive our enemies, just in case we should die. We don't want to meet the Lord with anything in our hearts against anyone. We want to come to the time of death having shared salvation with others. We want to be faithful in taking care of those who depend upon us. We want to be able to come to the end of life and surrender to God willingly, having finished everything that God gave us to do." Jesus died in the flesh faithfully. And because He conquered death, you and I can conquer death through His work on the cross. And we can die faithfully as well. There's a second characteristic. Jesus also died in His Father's providence. Luke says in Luke 23:46, "And having said this, He breathed His last." Christ died as no one has ever died before. In one sense, Jesus Christ was murdered by the hands of wicked men. Peter, in his first sermon, after the Holy Spirit descended from heaven, said these words in Acts chapter 2 and verse 23. "This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and you killed by the hands of lawless men." And when Peter was proclaiming this, he was saying that Jesus died at the hands of lawless men. But there's another sense in which Jesus died at the hands of God. For the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10 said that God the Father was the one that sent Jesus to the cross. Yet there's still another sense in which no one took Jesus Christ's life. The Bible says that Jesus Christ gave up His life willingly. Listen to what John chapter 10 verses 17 and 18 say. "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Jesus died voluntarily, the shepherd laying down His life for the sheep. No Old Testament sacrifice ever died willingly. You'll never find in the Old Testament a lamb that just volunteered itself to be sacrificed. You'll never find a goat that just volunteered itself to give its life. But the Bible says that Jesus willingly gave His life for us. And here is how providential God is in the death of His Son. In the Old Testament, the literal statement for the moment when the Passover lamb was to be killed was the phrase "between the evenings," which according to Jewish tradition was between 3 in the afternoon and 6 in the evening. And according to the Gospel of John, Jesus was crucified and died the exact time that the Passover lambs were being killed. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, between the evenings, Jesus Christ made His seventh and final statement from the cross. And He fulfilled His role as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He delivered up His Spirit to His Father because His blood had been shed, because prophecies had been fulfilled, and because His work was completed. Friends, I want you to understand this morning that Jesus' death was not an accident. It was an appointment. It was an appointment between Him and His Father. Jesus died according to divine providence, not according to the whims of man. And I want you to know this morning that our death is the same way. That the Bible says that before we're ever born, our days are numbered, and God has laid out before us how long you and I will live in this life. And it's not dependent upon you how long you live. It is dependent upon God, who gives you life to begin with, how long you'll live. Jesus died according to His Father's providence. And you and I will die under the hand of God's providential care and timing as well. There's a third characteristic about His death. Jesus died in His Father's presence. Luke 23:46 makes an interesting statement. He just simply says this: "Father." Jesus used the word "Father" often. When He was 12 years old, He said, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" In His Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, Jesus used the word "Father" more than 15 times. In His upper room in discourse and prayer in the Gospel of John chapters 13 to 17, He mentions the name "Father" 53 times. And twice on the cross, Jesus addressed God as Father. His very first statement from the cross, He addressed God as His Father. And His very last statement from the cross, He addressed God as his father. And in between his first statement and his last statement, he was in separation in relationship between his father, because God's wrath was upon him for your sin and for my sin and for the sins of the world. And in that moment when he was bearing the wrath of God for our sin, he could no longer call him father. He had to cry out and say, my God, why have you forsaken me? But now his suffering is finished. Now he has completed the work that his father has sent him to do. And no longer does he cry out to him, my God. Now he looks at him and he cries out and he says, Father. For Jesus died in the presence, in the assurance of his father. A.W. Pink said, and how blessed is it that his father is our father, ours because his. How wonderful this is. How unspeakably precious that I can look up to the great and living God and say, Father, my Father. And what comfort is contained in this title. And what assurance is given us in this title when we die. That if we have a relationship with God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we can look at Him and we can cry out and find comfort and assurance that we're dying in His presence and say, Father. Oh, Jesus died faithfully in the flesh. He died in His Father's providence. He died in His Father's presence. Number four, Jesus died in His Father's protection. Luke says that Jesus said, Father, into Your hands. It's an interesting statement, isn't it? During Jesus' 33 years of life on earth, His life had, in a sense, been in the hands of other people. Have you ever thought about that? His mother Mary and His earthly father Joseph held Him as a baby and as a boy. The Bible records in the Gospel of Luke that Mary and Joseph took Him to Simeon. And Simeon held Him when He was only 8 days old. The Bible records that John the Baptist placed his hands upon Him when he baptized Him at the beginning of His ministry. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, as Jesus was praying before He went to the cross, He said these words. He came to His disciples and He said to them, sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. And the Bible tells us that for many hours, Jesus was in the hands of sinners. The hands of sinners took Jesus and they bound Him. The hands of sinners beat Jesus. The hands of sinners stripped Him. The hands of sinners put a crown of thorns on His head. The hands of sinners nailed Him to a cross. The hands of sinners pierced His side. The hands of sinners gambled for His clothes. But I want you to know this morning, that once Jesus was in their hands, but there's coming a day when they'll be in His hands. Once these sinners said to Him, away with Him. And there's coming a day when He will look at them and He will say to them, depart from Me, for I never knew you. Jesus' first 3 hours on the cross brought suffering from the devil and from the hands of sinners. But His last 3 hours on the cross brought suffering from the hands of God. And now, the weight of this statement that He makes, having experienced 3 hours of tremendous suffering from the hands of God, now it is into those same hands that Jesus commits His Spirit. And did you notice that Jesus was just as committed to suffer in His Father's hands as He was to rejoice in His Father's hands? How could He be so willing to suffer and rejoice from the same set of hands? Because the Father was trustworthy. You see, the Father's hands are a place of eternal security. Jesus died commending His Spirit to His Father's hands. And did you know that there's been many throughout history who have echoed those same words? The first Christian martyr, Stephen, in the book of Acts, said this in Acts 7:59. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." The great preacher John Huss was condemned by the Council of Constance in 1415. And the bishop who conducted the ceremony ended with the chilling words, "And now we commit your soul to the devil." But John Huss looked at him and he said, "I commit my spirit into your hands, Lord Jesus Christ. Unto you I commend my spirit, for you have redeemed me." David, when he was pursued by his enemies, when he realized that in the midst of our enemies, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of facing death, we are actually in the hands of God. And he said this in Psalm 31:15, "My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors." Oh, friends, when you die in the hands of God. And if you're a believer in Christ this morning, you can echo the words of Stephen. You can echo the words of John Huss. You can echo the words of David. But more importantly, you can echo the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that as we pass from death into eternity, we can commit our spirit to God because of what Jesus has done for us. Oh, this statement is so weighty. Because did you know that when you commit your spirit to God in His hands, you're also committing them to the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you know that? Listen to what the Gospel of John says in John chapter 10. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Listen, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." And in this statement, Jesus is declaring that the Father and the Son are in harmony. That the hands of the Father and the hands of the Son are locked together. And that we as believers are held by both. You cannot get any more secure than that. If you know Christ as your Savior today, why are you afraid of dying? Because nothing can take you out of His hand. And no one can take you out of His hand. He and the Father are one, and when you come to faith in Christ, He places you right there in the palm of His hand. And He'll never let you go. But there's a sobering reality. If you don't entrust your life into the hands of the Father through Jesus Christ's work on the cross for safekeeping, are you listening? You will face the hands of God as your judge. The same hands that are speaking comfort and hope and encouragement to you, one day, if you don't know Christ, will speak wrath and judgment. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 10:31. "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And do you know the only reason why you don't have to fear to fall into His hands? Do you know? It's Jesus. That's why we're celebrating Him today. Because He defeated death, you don't have to fear death. You can face God as your Father and not as your judge. Have you committed your life into the hands of God? Have you turned from your sins and turned to Christ as your Savior? Oh, friend, listen to me this morning. I know you're tempted to tune away. Tune in. This is a matter of life and death. These are matters of eternity. There are people who've been praying that you would come today so that you would hear this. Because religion will not put you into the hands of a loving God. Religion will deceive you into thinking that you're right with God, and then one day you will fall into His wrath. Good works and trying to be a good person, oh, they'll make you feel good about yourself in this life, but they will never take you into the life to come. You'll be deceived. You'll be forever separated from God. Oh, do you feel the weight of this today? Do you feel the weight that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God when you don't have Christ as your Savior? Do you feel the immensity of that? Oh, if I could come and shake you and say, be convinced, I would. Because we're deceived. Oh, that God would open your eyes and that you would see yourselves today as you really are before Him. And that you would see God in all of His splendor and all of His glory. That you would see and behold the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that you would turn from everything. And that you would turn to Him. Oh, friend, if you've never come to Christ, won't you come today? Christian, have you fully yielded your spirit to God? Are you living for His glory? Are you living for the One who loves you and gave Himself up for you? Are you walking in daily dependence upon Him, knowing that without Him you can do nothing and that with Him you can do everything because He strengthens you? A.W. Pink, at the end of his great book on the seven sayings of Christ from the cross, he closes his book with these words. And now a brief word of appeal and conclusion. My friend, you are in a world that is full of trouble. You are unable to take care of yourself in life, much less will you be able to do so in death. Life has many trials and temptations, and your soul is menaced from every side. On every hand are dangers and pitfalls. The world, the flesh, and the devil are combined against you. They are too much for your strength. Here then is the beacon of light amid the darkness. Here is the harbor of shelter from all storms. Here is the blessed canopy that protects from all the fiery darts of the evil one. Thank God there is a refuge from the gales of life and from the terrors of death. And the refuge is the Father's hands. Oh. Won't you come into the hands of His protection today through His Son? There's a fifth characteristic. Jesus died in His Father's promises. Luke records that Jesus said, Father, into your hands, listen, I commit my spirit. Jesus lived by the Word of God. That's how He began His ministry. In Matthew chapter 4, we have the temptation account of Jesus where the devil tempted Him. And every time the devil tempted Jesus, you know what the Bible says Jesus did? He quoted the Word of God back to Him to defeat the devil. Jesus lived by the Word of God. And now in His last statement from the cross, we find that Jesus died by the Word of God. Jesus made seven statements from the cross. Four of the statements were directly from the Old Testament. He quoted Scripture. That means that as Jesus was dying, He was filling His mind with the Word of God. Jesus' last statement from the cross, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, is a quote from Psalm 31 in verse 5. This verse was a prayer that little Jewish boys and girls learned to pray before they went to sleep at night. It would be the equivalent of ours. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep if I should die before I wake. I pray the Lord my soul to take. Psalm 31 verse 5 is what little boys and girls learned to pray to God. This is what Psalm 31:5 says. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Psalm 31:5 is an Old Testament promise, and Jesus applied it to himself. But, listen, but. You have your Bible open there in your lap, do you? Look carefully at Luke 23:46. Jesus changed the quotation of Psalm 31:5. I just read it to you. You know how he changed it? He added a word and he deleted a phrase. Do you know what word he added? He added the word Father, because he was talking to his Father. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And do you know the phrase that he deleted? He deleted the phrase, You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Do you know why he omitted that phrase? Because Jesus was the Redeemer. He did not need to be redeemed. He is the one who does the redeeming. And Jesus committed and entrusted his Spirit to his Father. And he's modeling for us that when we come to faith in Christ, we can entrust our spirit to the Father. And that we would follow his example, and that our waning breaths we would meditate upon, and we would embrace the promises of the Word of God. Because that is what will sustain us in this life. It's the Word. And Jesus died meditating on the Word. He died in his Father's promises. Which brings us to the conclusion, the sixth characteristic. Jesus died in full power. Luke 23:46, the Bible says, Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, I love how Luke describes this. Every word in the Bible is important. And Luke says that Christ, when he came to this seventh statement, he didn't just say it. Do you see what he said? He didn't just say it. He cried out. And he didn't just cry out. Luke says that he cried out with a loud voice. I want you to understand that crucifixion cuts your air off. And Jesus was dehydrated at this point. And it took everything he had to push himself up on that cross to make this last statement. And when he made it, he didn't just say it. He cried it out with a loud voice so that everyone that was around him that day heard it. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are what we refer to as the Gospels. Each of them are written for a different audience and a different purpose. And each of them describes Jesus' last statement a little bit differently. And so, for instance, when you go and you read Matthew chapter 27 and verse 50, Matthew's purpose was to present Jesus as the King of the Jews. And Jesus is presented here as one as authority, who having the authority gave up his spirit, because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is presented as the perfect suffering servant. And Mark says that he breathed out his spirit, meaning that Jesus endured and suffered to the end for you and for me. But John, in his Gospel in John 19:30, Jesus' divinity is presented in the Gospel of John. And here in John 19, Jesus doesn't commit his spirit to the Father. He is presented as one who has full power over it. And he yields it, gives it up. Jesus died victoriously. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered the law. And when Jesus died, several miracles happened, the Bible says. The Bible says that when Jesus died, the veil in the temple was split in two, separating the Holy of Holies and the presence of God where he dwelled, meaning that now through Jesus Christ, we can have direct access to God. Do you understand that this morning? Through Jesus Christ, you can go directly to God. And it proves to us that Jesus was victorious over sin. Because anyone who went behind that curtain died. Except for the great high priest. And Jesus is that great high priest who brings us into the presence of God. And it proves to us today that Jesus was victorious over sin. Matthew says that graves were opened and some of the saints who had already died were resurrected, proving that Jesus was victorious over death. Matthew also says that there was a great earthquake when Jesus made his last statement and he breathed his last on the cross. It symbolized the trembling of the giving of the law in the Old Testament, except this time it wasn't about the giving of the law. It was that the law had been conquered through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died with full power. Jesus defeated death. He defeated sin. He defeated hell. He defeated the grave. That's why the Apostle Paul declared to the Corinthians, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He was victorious over all those things. And because He was victorious over all those things, you and I can be victorious through Christ. Never shall the cross be so precious to us as when death is near. For if we have embraced the Christ who hung there for us, we shall never really die. For He died not merely that our sins would be taken away, but to prove that death does not have the last word for those whose faith is in the One who conquered it. Jesus died well. And Jesus, by His example, shows you and I how we can die well. Charles Haddon Spurgeon told about an old Christian woman he knew who died in the night. But before she died, she left a poem on her nightstand that she had enough strength to write just before she got ready for bed and breathed her last. And this is what she wrote: "Since Jesus is mine, I'll not fear undressing, but gladly put off these garments of clay. To die in the Lord is a covenant blessing, since Jesus to glory through death led the way." Did you know that most people die the way they live? That generally those who live in sin their whole life, those who try to depend upon themselves and their good works and religious activity and all these things to take them to heaven, do you know that that's usually how they die? And did you know that those who don't depend upon themselves and depend upon Christ for their salvation to go to heaven, that that's how they die? Depending on Christ, claiming to His promises. Very few people ever change the trajectory of their life on their deathbed. Very few. So friend, you've been gracious today. You've listened to a long-winded preacher. But in all seriousness, if today was your last day on earth, would you die well? Do you know that if you breathed your last breath on this earth, that you would fall into the hands of your Father? Or would you fall into the hands of your judge for all eternity? Have you ever come to Christ? Do you know Him? It's my prayer that you see the beauty of Christ today. And that you would turn from everything else you're trusting in and cast yourself upon Him. Would you stand for prayer with me?